T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to KMOX anytime, anywhere. Download the radio.com app today.
I have a confession. I'm addicted to the news.
You know I'm totally off script right now.
Journalism is cool again, and you have endless content, let's be honest.
And this is how I got elected, by being off script.
Now, Mark Reardon.
I've seen people almost go to the bathroom in their pants in his presence.
On St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Yeah, it's that hotbed of criminal activity, Fenton, where I live. This is literally, this manhunt is going on probably, and Dave Klein lives out there as well. We've targeted the manhunt as basically being in between where Dave lives and I live. We know the area well. In fact, I got a text message from my daycare because my daughter goes to daycare in that area, and they were like, look, everything's fine. We know that there are helicopters and drones and things like that, but we'll continue to keep you posted on that story this afternoon, which I think a lot of people certainly are tracking because there's been no resolution. A lot of stuff to cover this afternoon. Ton of stuff. The impeachment trial is still going on right now. This is, you know, sort of the way that I've put it over the years with movies, especially movies this time of year where they're really bad. Typically, you know, January, February, I take the hit. I make the sacrifices. I do it so you don't have to. I'm going to continue to say that about impeachment, too, because Ken Starr, listening to him today, I think the goal is to sort of lull people to sleep. I saw one report. I think our friend Lisa Desjardins from the PBS NewsHour said that there was more attention given to Ken Starr in the Senate chamber than anyone else. No moving around. Maybe that's because they did fall asleep. But we'll test that theory as we get through this afternoon. I was at the SLU basketball game yesterday against Fordham when I found out the news about Kobe Bryant. I think it was Dave. You texted me at first. And I looked at my phone. I'm like, you got to be kidding. This is not true at first. In fact, it was. And I heard a great report from CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman last night in the aftermath of this news breaking. I tuned in right away as I got out of that basketball game, Steve, as you were just finding the information. First of all, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing fine. Listen, I'm a Laker fan, a Kobe Bryant fan, have covered him over the years, good and bad. I was actually in Eagle, Colorado briefly to cover that part of the Kobe Bryant story, which is part of the story. You can't ignore that, too. The good and the bad with anyone's life story. There was a lot more good than bad. I was there when they lost the championship. I was there when they won the championship. Just a very, very sad story. You know, I was talking to someone right now, the fragile nature of life. 48 hours ago, many of us, many millions of people, I'll put myself in the group, would have said, can you change your life with Kobe Bryant? Yeah, I'll do that. I'll change my life with Kobe Bryant, a successful millions of dollars, have everything set for me. Now, no one would trade places with him, obviously.
Hey, Steve, what do we know about the accident itself? And after I chat with you, I don't know if you've heard this, there's a piece of audio out there from a podcast from a while back where he was talking about how he used private helicopters because it afforded him the opportunity to still pay attention, you know, pick his kids up from school and things along those lines.
Listen, he used his helicopter, not every day, not all the time, but to some degree, he used a helicopter like most of us use our cars. He, in his final years with the Lakers, and obviously it's very expensive, but he was a very wealthy man. He would fly from his home to Staples Center on the helicopter to play a game and then fly back on the helicopter. He just did it for several years. He liked to use the helicopter. The journey he made yesterday from the Orange County area up here to Ventura County, it would have been, I've taken trips like that in my car all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to take the helicopter. He liked the helicopter. And it's just so sad that that's obviously the reason that this has happened. We're trying to find out, obviously, more details. The wreckage is still in the foothills. It hit an area that doesn't look to be inaccessible, but it's very hard to get to. And the authorities are having a tough time. They have not even removed all the bodies yet. That could take possibly up to several days. The NTSB is here. They're going to look at a number of things. First of all, weather conditions. It was an overcast day yesterday. I'm not trying to suggest thick fog and clouds where you can't even drive on the surface. No, it wasn't like that. But it was an overcast day, and that can present problems. The LAPD had grounded its helicopter force, so the sheriff's department. You weren't banned from flying, but some people felt it wasn't safe enough. So that will be one question. Another question, the pilot was apparently making a maneuver just before the crash to go higher above the cover, the clouds, as they call it. Did something go wrong in that attempt? Did he do something incorrect? Did the helicopter malfunction? That's another thing. And obviously, the third thing is malfunctioning of the helicopter.
Steve, look, when a moment like this happens, and he was only 41 years old, I don't have that personal connection with Kobe like a lot of people do. Certainly someone like you in L.A., I would kind of maybe consider myself more of a Michael Jordan person, but there's no doubt the influence that he had on athletes here in St. Louis, for example, in a mentoring role. And you mentioned the trial and what happened with that. That's something I don't know even the rules on that, because you saw someone, I think from the Washington Post, who tweeted something that might have been insensitive and inappropriate, who got fired. But like you said, it is part of the story.
Well, if you put it in context, I think you can mention it. It's not the lead to Kobe Bryant's life. It is part of his story. It's, life wasn't, there were some struggles for Kobe Bryant, you could say, after talking about all the accomplishments. Yes, he won 5 championships. Yes, 2 gold medals. Yes, an Oscar. I don't know if anyone's won an NBA title and an Oscar. By the way, I covered all those. He had tremendous games. He had 81 points in one game against the Toronto Raptors. But I believe it was 2003, he was charged with sexual assault, rape, against a young woman in Eagle, Colorado. The case was dropped. She did not want to testify, cooperate, and then they did have an out-of-court settlement. That is part of the story. Kobe Bryant had a very rough relationship for a while with Shaquille O'Neal. They had to trade Shaquille O'Neal. The two could not even be teammates. That was sort of a struggle for Kobe Bryant, too. By the way, those two did finally find a way to come together again. And if you look at Kobe Bryant's last game as a Laker, this is one of my favorite Kobe Bryant pictures, as he goes off the court after scoring 60 points in this last game and really helping the Lakers come from behind to win, just a dramatic win. Didn't mean anything, but except for the symbolic nature of Kobe's last game. When he comes off the court with 4.1 seconds left, he gives a giant embrace to Shaquille O'Neal, who had come to the game.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And, some of the I saw the tributes, obviously tributes at the Grammys. I don't know if you were there. You were covering that story as well. But also the tributes for NBA teams basically taking the delay of game penalty or whatever they would call it, the shot clock violation, right?
Yeah, it's interesting. The shot clock violation is 24 seconds. The midcourt, bringing it up front court, is 8-second violation. What were Kobe's two numbers in his career? 8 and 24. Interesting. Tomorrow, though, at Staples Center, the Lakers will have their first game since Kobe Bryant's death. They're playing their crosstown rival, the Clippers, and I have a feeling that's going to be a game that will bring tears to lots of people at Staples Center as they pay tribute to Kobe Bryant. I don't know what they have planned, but I'm sure it's going to be quite moving for the players and the fans and for anyone who watches it on TV.
And then one final question here on services or anything, because I can't imagine that there is not going to be something that's also public along with a private memorial.
I would think so, but we don't know right now. I mean, we're wondering, could it be like the Michael Jackson salute, which was at Staples Center? Might it be something like that? It's really up to the family. If the family wants some families just do not want to deal with this. They're in so much grief. And remember, it's not just Kobe. There's a 13-year-old child who died in all this as well, his daughter. So I don't know if they want to do something like that. I'm sure the fans would like something like that, but I don't know if the family's going to want to do that. But it is possible. We're all wondering whether there will be a big public memorial service for him as well.
CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman. Thank you so much, Steve.
Take care.
All right, take care. I mentioned the audio. I wanted to play this because, Dave, this was from a podcast with Alex Rodriguez talking about, and it makes sense when you listen to it here, why he used the helicopter.
Then traffic started getting really, really bad, right? And I was sitting in traffic, and I wound up missing like a school play because I was sitting in traffic, and this thing just kept mounting. I had to figure out a way where I could still train and focus on the craft, but still not compromise family time. Mm. And so that's when I looked into helicopters and be able to get down and back in 15 minutes. Mm. And that's when it started. And so my routine was always the same. Weights early in the morning, kids to school, fly down, practice like crazy, do my extra work, media, everything I needed to do, fly back, get back in carpool line, pick the kids up. And my wife was like, listen, I can pick them up. I'm like, no. I want to do that because, mm-hmm. like, you know, you have road trips and times where you're not, you don't see your right. kids, man, right. you know? So, like, every chance I get to see them and spend time with them, even if it's 20 minutes in your car, like, I want that.
Yeah, makes sense. And unfortunately, I think airplanes are pretty safe when it comes to flying. You don't have too many air disasters, and they get highlighted when you do. And unfortunately, hundreds of people tend to die. Helicopters are a different story. And there is risk there. And I think a lot of celebrities, and I get the convenience factor, but, man, can't go back and do it again. It's 216 at KMOX.
Mark Reardon now.
No, never. Yes, always.
Total Information PM at 4 on KMOX.
Matter from the Post, who does a great job with Mizzou, used to be in Columbia covering the Tigers, was hired by the Post a few years ago. He tweeted this story out, and I had to look into it here. There's a guy named Morris Berger, and the connection here is I guess he used to be an assistant at Mizzou a few years ago. But he is the newly hired offensive coordinator at Grand Valley State University, who has now been suspended. So the student newspaper just the other day, actually, what's Dave? I can't remember the date to save my life these days. What's the day? It was the 27th. All right, this was on the 23rd. The Grand Valley Lanthorn. I think I subscribed to that, just the digital version of that. The student reporter said this. So you graduated from Drury with a degree in history. You're a history guy. If you could have dinner with three historical figures, living or dead, who would they be? And I'm ruling out football figures. So Morris Berger, the newly hired offensive coordinator at Grand Valley State University, says, this is probably not going to get a good review. If you got to say that at the beginning, you probably don't want to continue. But he said, this is probably not going to get a good review, but I'm going to say Adolf Hitler. It was obviously very sad, and he had bad motives, he added. But the way he was able to lead was second to none. How he rallied a group and a following. I want to know how he did that. Bad intentions, of course, but you can't deny he wasn't a great leader. Well, that's gotten him into a bit of trouble. Look, I think we all know what he meant by that, but you can't say it, unfortunately. Good rule of thumb, hat tip, ladies and gentlemen. Don't mention Hitler ever, ever, ever. Just don't talk about it, right? You're going to be better off. There's never anything good that happens when you refer to Nazis or Hitler. There just isn't. So best practice, not mention. There you go. It's my little helpful Monday hint. This afternoon, or tip, on KMOX 222, we're joined by St. Louis County Councilman Tim Fish, used to be the chief of police in St. Louis County. Hey, they got a big search over by, in your neck of the woods, in your district. Actually, it's probably right by your house, if I had to think about it, because you live not too far from where I do.
You're exactly right. It's just about a walking distance, a block and a half from where I live. And this is that tragedy from last week where this guy shot his estranged wife and then killed her father. And like I said last week, these things happen everywhere. Don't think you're immune to this. Although I've been in that neighborhood since 1998. And it's the first time we've had anything like this.
I know you're not in law enforcement right now, but it seems odd that that's an area that's being scoured right now because this happened 4 or 5 days ago.
And the circumstances here is this individual, his vehicle's been recovered. I don't think I'm giving away too many secrets here. So that means he either went out into the woods right after it was over and maybe took his own life. I think that's probably what's going on right now.
Yeah.
I doubt they think he's hiding in the woods anywhere because that wouldn't necessarily be the case this long ago, but my guess is they're looking for his body in that area. And it's not unusual in one of these domestic situations where something like that would happen.
Right. The reason I invited Chief Fitch to come on this afternoon was not because of that case that's going on right now in Fenton. It's about Proposition P and the funds and the questions about Prop P. And you, when Prop P passed, I can't remember, you were not chief at that time. It was John, right?
Correct.
But you had some questions about, if I remember correctly, you had some questions about Prop P and whether or not the money would be allocated properly, didn't you?
Correct. I actually didn't make a whole lot of public noise about it, but made it very well known to those that would ask that I was not in favor of the Prop P the way it was written. I absolutely was in favor of the police officers getting pay raises way past due for that. But the way the ballot was written and the people voted on it, highly probable that it was going to be used in other manners other than for policing, and that's exactly what's happened.
Yeah, truth be told, I remember you and I had conversations, mostly off the air, but I think there was something that ended up on the air with some questions about this. So what's happening right now? This is a little confusing, I think. Is the money not there? Was it over budgeted? Who made the mistakes? Was it just a simple mistake, or was it egregious? What do we know about where the money is right now?
Well, keep in mind, the voters just approved this in 2017, so we're not talking about a long time ago. And what was hoped is that this money would last for a long, long time, so where there were needs in the police department in particular, that those needs could be funded by the public safety tax that the voters approved. The problem was they also added in not just police but public safety, and then is where it took off. Public safety became all kinds of things. For example, the executive secretary in the prosecutor's office gets a raise from Prop P money. I don't believe that's where people thought that their vote was going to have money go.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
And that's just one example. I will tell you that of all the Prop P money that we take in annually, which right now is about $50 million a year, about half of it, maybe slightly more than that, 60%, go for the police department. The rest are going in all different kinds of directions. So what do you think that's done to the balance of the fund? It's drawn it down. So much so that the budget director answered an email from me last week, and he told me that the Prop P fund was over budgeted. Those are his words, over budgeted.
What is this? When I see Doug Moore, who's one of Sam Page's spokesperson, said this about you. Contrary to county executives' recommended budget, Councilman Fitch supported spending an additional $1.3 million each year from Prop P on the family court. We plan to take financial steps this year to ensure that Councilman Fitch's decision does not require us to spend into the Prop P reserves.
Yeah, it's interesting that Doug wrote it that way because he knows that's not how it happened. So what happened was, is on the 26th of December, a special meeting was called at the request of the county counselor's office. That's the county office of all the lawyers that's put in place by the county executive. And the county counselor told us as a council, not Tim Fitch, but the council, you need to approve these raises for the family court or we're going to get sued. We're going to have to pay their attorney fees. Of course, we're going to have attorney fees. The courts are going to force us to give these raises anyway. So a special meeting was called, and it was everybody at the meeting voted to approve this or else we were going to be sued. Now, all of a sudden, because I brought up this Prop P question last week, it was my idea to support this family court thing. By the way, the other thing that Doug didn't tell you in his release is that nobody told anyone on the council that this would cause Prop P to become over-budgeted. That was never mentioned.
So let's run just quickly down the math right now. You had $16.1 million in the surplus fund last year and then ended with $20.9 million. So where does that create a problem and what's going to happen next?
Well, right now, the way it stands is if tomorrow Chief Belmar came to us and said, listen, we need a new precinct station in our Central County precinct, which is the oldest one they have at this point. It's going to have to be replaced at some point. We're going to have to say, guess what? We have no more Proposition P money to do that. It doesn't exist. It's all committed. Here's the other major issue. I told you we're bringing in about $50 million a year. That's a sales tax. Mark, you know as well as I do that sales taxes go up and down depending on the economy.
Right.
And depending on unemployment. Right now, if we budgeted all of that $50 million, what happens 2 years from now when suddenly we're only taking in $45 million
in sales.
And that's
probably, I mean, if you just use common sense, it's cyclically probably heading in that direction.
Absolutely. Our sales taxes are going up, but very, very slightly, less than 2% a year. And it will go back down at some point. And we've committed ourselves already to, like I said, this year, spend everything we take in. Now, when you spend everything you take in on, especially on salaries and benefits, you don't go back to next year and take those away from people. You're committed to that. So that's a huge issue here. And all I did is ask questions about what's the balance, what are we going to do in the future, how is that going to look in the future, and we've asked for a meeting for that, and I still have not received a response from my meeting request for this information.
Are you concerned that the new county executive, Sam Page, could potentially use the Prop P funds for the verdict against the county in the Keith Wildhaber case?
Yes, I am absolutely concerned about that. As a matter of fact, I've asked the question, is there money in play out of Prop P to possibly settle the Wildhaber lawsuit? And I was told by the county counselor's office that basically we have to consider all sources of revenue, which, what does that say to you?
Well, I think that answers the question, right?
Yeah, if they were going to say, no, absolutely not, hands off of Prop P, they would have said that, but they didn't.
See what happens next. Councilman Tim Fitch, I appreciate it.
All right, Mark, take care.
Thank you. 229 at the Voice of St. Louis. We're going to talk about impeachment coming up here. The Trump legal team is presenting its case. Jane Raskin, who is one of the attorneys, is up on the floor of the Senate right now. Frank Mealy, who is a columnist with Real Clear Politics, wrote about this. We have the new material with John Bolton's book. Some questions about that. Frank's coming up next. We're going to also talk about the coronavirus this afternoon and put it into perspective. Look, the numbers are growing. I indicated last week, I think that you certainly want to put things into perspective, especially since the flu has killed 7,000 people in this country right now. However, it's a growing concern, and I don't think you can really trust the numbers from China. So Dr. Mark Siegel, Fox News correspondent, is going to join us after the top of the hour on KMOX. So plenty still to come, including an audio cut of the day as we get through the afternoon on KMOX. Right now, donate your car to Goodwill. Towing is free, and you'll get a tax receipt.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
News Radio 1120, KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals.
You want to know how riveting impeachment was today? Check this out. This is Ken Starr on the floor of the United States Senate.
And living proof that wildly controversial 21-year bold experiment.
It doesn't get any better. I just wanted to play a little sample there. It really doesn't get any better than that. Frank Mealy is with me this afternoon to talk about it, columnist with Real Clear Politics. Frank, welcome back to KMOX. Thanks for coming on. And how are you today?
Thank you. Doing very good. Watching the impeachment wind to, I hope, a close, but we'll see about that.
All right. Now, here's what I said earlier today, and I'll see if you're with me on this. Look, no matter where you are on this, I'm sitting in here in a studio before the show, and I'm watching Ken Starr and Jay Sekulow, and Ken Starr in particular. I don't know if part of the strategy here is to lull them to sleep, but man, that there's some boring things going on there in the Senate, I think, on both sides, right?
Well, I guess that's one way to look at it. I was thinking he was very distinguished.
I just felt like, I mean, look, I feel badly about this, Frank, and I know that this is an important part of history and all that, but I really am rather bored with the whole thing. And I think a lot of people have tuned out. Again, not to say that constitutional issues aren't important, not to say that this trial isn't important, but I do think that a pretty good portion of Americans are just not interested.
Well, that's true. I mean, the ratings prove that. The empty seats in the gallery prove it. But I don't know if it's that they're bored or uninterested or just that the lines are so drawn that people's minds are made up already and they don't feel they need to listen.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. So let's get to a little bit about Adam Schiff and the things that you wrote about in the column. But before we get to that, obviously, you have the John Bolton story that broke today. So does that affect anything that we're learning right now about a book that's apparently coming out with unnamed sources at this point? Does that affect your opinion at all moving forward about this trial or anything that you wrote about with Adam Schiff?
No, absolutely not. I wrote a piece on the Bolton book this morning on my blog, heartlanddiaryusa.com. And in it, basically, I compared what's going on with what happened in the Kavanaugh hearing. You know, the Democrats are probably about to lose. And so they're pulling out, what I call a splash and smear campaign to try to delay and deflect. And everything that the New York Times reported, which is very little when you actually read the story, they said they talked to people who saw the book and they said that Bolton reported on this conversation. There's no quotes from the book. There's no, there's no hard evidence in it. It's basically hearsay from third parties. And even if it's true, my point is, I already know from the transcript that President Trump asked for an investigation of the Bidens. I'm not surprised that he also tied the aide up until he got the investigation he asked for. I mean, to me, those are just obvious facts. And it's just a question of whether you feel that it was a corrupt act or not. I personally feel it was not a corrupt act to investigate corruption. Democrats want to make it out like President Trump can't ask for that, because it was an opponent in an election who happened to be the person who was being investigated for corruption. I just don't buy that. I mean, you don't get immunity by being a candidate for office. So there you have it.
Well, so, I don't know if it's a bombshell or not. It's dropped as if it is a bombshell, but we've seen a lot of bombshells be dropped on this president before, and they're duds. So I don't know if this one, you have Mitt Romney and a couple other Republicans now saying that maybe there should be some testimony from John Bolton. We'll see where that lands. But, yeah. It's hard to judge these things because the news cycle works so quickly.
Oh, absolutely. And we knew Romney was already going to vote for witnesses. It really comes down to Murkowski, Collins, and one senator to be named later to decide the issue. And, I think for me, the fact of the most important fact of the impeachment trial so far is how clearly they laid out that the subpoenas that were issued in the House were, invalid because they weren't issued under proper authority. And so this whole process that's gotten us here is a sham. And if they want to start over again, let them start over. If they want to have an impeachment in June of an election year, let them start over again. But I really think the senators owe it to the people on the process alone to say this is an invalid impeachment and we're going to send it back to the House and reject what they've sent over.
Obviously, the president is pointed out, certainly by the Washington Post on a regular basis, they seem to have a running column about the number of lies that he's told. You focus on the distortions from Adam Schiff during his opening arguments.
That's right. I mean, I'm always amazed by how people take Adam Schiff seriously. And he's developed this rhetorical ability, which, God bless him. But when you actually look at what he's saying, there's not much behind it. For instance, and this is what got my attention. In his very opening remarks, he quoted Alexander Hamilton as if Hamilton were warning us about a president like President Trump. And in fact, he was warning us about people outside the government trying to weaken the government by attacking the sitting president and his administration. The president then was George Washington. Alexander Hamilton wasn't warning us that we had to watch out for a dangerous, unprincipled president named George Washington. And to take that quote and turn it around as if President Trump is somehow this unprincipled man that Hamilton was warning us about is it's chutzpah, to use a term of art. And I would suggest and submit that Adam Schiff is the unprincipled man who wants to bring down the general government by smearing it and, you know, causing doubt about it, not President Trump.
Well, Frank, what we hear all the time from the Democrats in this process, and we certainly heard it, you even mentioned this quote from Adam Schiff in his opening. He said, President Trump solicited foreign interference in our democratic elections, abusing the power of his office to seek help from abroad to improve his reelection prospects at home. That case, they feel, has been emboldened by this John Bolton story. So they think it's sort of open and shut when it comes to that case against impeachment. And I think that that's the narrative that they've stuck with from the beginning once they got away from quid pro quo, because they had to focus group that and change it to bribery, right? You don't even hear bribery coming up too often these days.
No. I mean, they'll throw in anything they need to get a vote, but it's not certainly in the charges.
So on the topic of whether or not they think that they prove their case, because, look, the country is very, you know, the country is divided. Half the country, if you hate Trump, you think Adam Schiff is right. This is a slam dunk. Look what he did here. He tried to get, you know, a foreign country involved. He's just trying to improve his election chances. Half the other people are with Trump. I don't think it's an impeachable offense. I don't think it was a perfect phone call. So I don't even know where that leaves us right now, outside of the fact that nobody really believes that this is going to result in a conviction.
Right. Well, you know, definitely one of the lies that I think is, you know, Pinocchio worthy is the idea that if you accept the fact that Russia interfered in the 2016 election, that therefore the idea of Ukraine interfering is off the table. I mean, they keep acting as if the president and his advisors and Republicans just believe that Ukraine did all this nefarious stuff and Russia did nothing. And that's outright, you know, chicanery to even suggest that. Russia has always interfered in our elections. They're always going to try. That doesn't mean anything in terms of what the president saw from Ukraine. And it's obvious from the political reporting and other reporting that the Democratic Party, DNC, Representative Chalupa was working with people in the Ukrainian embassy and the Ukrainian government to try to, you know, discourage voters from electing Donald Trump, because Trump at that point was saying, you know, maybe we don't have to get involved in that war between Russia and Ukraine. But he was saying, let's slow down, take a look before we get involved. And they didn't, you know, they didn't appreciate that. I understand that Ukrainians have a right to their point of view. But, you know, to say that they weren't involved in the election, that's outright, you know, wrong.
Frank Mealy, always great to have you on KMOX. I hope you're surviving your winter in Montana. We'll have you back soon.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it. And let's get back to the TV and watch the rest.
I'll try. You're going to make that sacrifice for me since I'm on the air, right?
Correct.
All right. We'll see you. Thanks, Frank. It's right here. I can play it to you. Patrick Philbin,
principal of DuPont,
Regis's brother.
In the way they divide.
That's fake news. That's not true. Presenting the case. It's just, and I don't care what side. I mean, they were boring last week, too. It's just that I don't know if anybody really sits through and they can't, right, Dave? They can't have their phones in there either, can they? Because I'd be playing, you know, World Series of Poker or something on my phone if I was in there. Let's take a break.
Get home fast and informed. Total Information PM starts weekdays at 4 on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX and KMOX.com.
So what a man gotta do, what a man gotta do to be totally locked up by
you. Do I get the man card revoked if I admit that I kind of like this Jonas Brothers song? I put it into my queue in Tidal. That's my music service that I use last week, and they performed this, I guess. I didn't watch 1 minute of the Grammys. By the time I remembered that it was on, it was about 7:45. I had forgotten to record it, so then I hit record. It's in my queue right now on DirecTV, but I don't know. None of the folks, for the most part, who were performing outside of Lizzo or maybe that song from the Jonas Brothers really interested me. A lot of Kobe Bryant, though, tributes last night. Alicia Keys.
We're going to bring it all together. We're going to love together. And we're going to make sure that we are celebrating the most powerful energy, the most beautiful thing in the world, the one thing that has the power to bring all of us together. And that's music.
And that was at the Staples Center, right? Isn't that where they had the Grammys last night? So I heard this. I did get a text message from my friend John last night who said this was pretty good.
Don't help me
Usher doing a Prince tribute. Dave, did you see that one? Was that pretty good? All right. And then Lizzo performed as well. I have no idea who won and really don't care who won last night because I know Billie Eilish had a really big night. And she's just, not that I don't like Billie Eilish. She's just kind of, I don't want to say weird for the sake of being weird. I did hear one interview with her that was interesting, and she's had a lot to take on considering all her success has come at such a young age. All right, so got a couple of things here before the end of the hour that I wanted to cover. How about this? Michael Avenatti, our proud St. Louis porn attorney, who has been on this program. He granted us an interview back when he was, you know, busting out into superstardom before his indictment. He, let's see, this is, all right, this is a New York Post story, but we're going to roll with it anyway. And what happens is, hold on a second, because this happens more often than not. Hang on. I apologize. What happens is I find these stories, I print out the stories, and when I print them out, sometimes the printer does not take kindly to them. So I couldn't read you exactly what I wanted to. Michael Avenatti Googled Nike before, and actually Nike put options insider trading. He was Googling all these things before trying to extort $25 million. Here's the story. Disgraced attorney Michael Avenatti may have been looking into how to make stock market riches off his alleged attempt to extort up to $25 million from the sneaker giant, papers show in the court. Avenatti, whose client Gary Franklin accused Nike of making and trying to conceal illegal payments to top basketball recruits, conducted Google searches related to insider trading and Nike put options and visited the NASDAQ website to look into the pricing of those instruments. A motion letter sent to the court showed. You would have thought that he may have been a little smarter than that, right? Knowing if he got caught on this, that they were going to dig into the computers. The internet search is conducted on March 10th, less than 2 weeks before he was arrested and charged. I mean, look, we know now he was being watched, and they nailed him, especially when he started making some moves. And this happened over the weekend. I should have mentioned this in relation to Kobe Bryant, but this is Allison Morris. Now, my impression would be that what I'm about to play to you, you have not heard. And I would suggest that if this happened, this exact moment happened on Fox, that you'd be hearing about it ad nauseum. Can you even imagine if someone on the Fox Network, Fox News Channel, would have made a mistake like this? So I don't even know who this person is, but her name is Allison Morris.
Couldn't deny how much he brought to the team, no matter which team, which Lakers team he played on.
Yeah, it seems like he was just the kind of athlete, the kind of star that was perfectly cast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Kavita, if I could ask you to stay with us.
All right, so what happened there is, and we bleeped the word, it's a word you can say. We would not get fined by the FCC, but there are sensitivity issues. She said the N-word.
Perfectly cast on the Los Angeles.
I mean, it was clear as day, right? It was clear as day, the N-word. Now, she apologized for it after it happened. It was a slip of the tongue. Was it a slip of the tongue? Now, we're coming, it was just the one-year anniversary of Kevin Steincross, who really did have a slip of the tongue, said something on Fox in the early morning hours of MLK Day last year. I won't even say the full name anymore for fear of reprisal or losing my career. So he gets on the air in the early morning hours of MLK Day and says the word coon, but he really doesn't. He doesn't say that. He sort of says coon, and it's just a slip. It's a verbal slip. It happens to people all the time. He gets fired, doesn't really have a career right now. I'm hoping he got, and I'm pretty certain he got a big check, but MSNBC's Allison Morris. Now, I will tell you, I'm a little bit more suspect on this because what we're told and what we were told of the people who went after Steincross, including the NAACP, is, look, it has to be. If he says something like that, it has to be hidden deep in his heart that he is a racist, right? We know that. It just doesn't happen. In fact, linguists will tell you, I've said this many times, it does happen. It's you get tripped up on the combination between King and Junior, all right? I'm just going to leave it at that. The combination of those words sometimes leads people to say a word that sounds like coon. But in this particular case, it's hard to really make an excuse for this, just saying the N-word blatantly during some news coverage. But again, crickets, ladies and gentlemen. You won't hear about it. Of course not. She's being protected. Second hour of the show coming up here. News from Carol at the top of the hour.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.